You know, this is one of those topics that no one really wants to think about, but if you're a parent, a homeowner, married, or helping take care of aging parents, it's something that honestly deserves a little attention. I'm talking about estate planning. And before you tune out thinking it's complicated or expensive, that's actually why I want to mention trust and will. Trust and will makes estate planning feel way less intimidating than it sounds. They offer modern, attorney-designed wills and trusts that you can create online. And the process is surprisingly straightforward. In fact, you can create a will in as little as 30 minutes. That includes things like guardianship for your kids or pets, how your assets are distributed, and even healthcare directives. Don't wait until it's too late. Protect your loved ones with Trust and Will, the most trusted name in online estate planning. Go to trustandwill.com/future to get 20% off. That's trustandwill.com/future for 20% off. trustandwill.com/future.
The Claire Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Now, this week sees the release of the much-anticipated Wuthering Heights, which has given us the wonderful excuse to look back at some of the greatest love stories on screen. Joining me to do that is John Farthy. John, can I start with Wuthering Heights first one?
Yes,
have you seen it?
I have, yeah.
A lot of talk about it.
I thought it was pretty good. It is dividing critics. Now,
it is.
I read it in secondary school. This version is a lot steamier. My 14-year-old self would have enjoyed the movie more than I did the book at the time, I have to say. But they've steamed it up, let's say. But the two leads really work well together, Jacob Elordi and Margot Robbie, as this, you know, what is it the French call it, amour fou, this crazy love that they can't be together, but they want to be together. It's going to tear them apart. That central chemistry does work great. Mm-hmm. So I think it works as an entertaining film.
I saw some criticism of his accent online. Someone said it sounded like he's an Emmerdale character. Is that fair?
Yes, that probably is actually. Okay. Such a crossroads about it even as well. Yeah. But no,
still
I think it's worth it. I think people will enjoy it.
Okay, so that gives us the excuse
indeed.
Then to look at the most romantic films that have ever made it onto the silver screen.
Yes, indeed. It's funny, you know, people might think Casablanca, right? We'll get to that. But when I canvass opinion about people's favourite love story, romantic comedy, call it what you will of all time, this one is often the one that comes up first.
Plus, you know, you just get to a certain point where you get tired of the whole thing.
What whole thing?
The whole life of a single guy thing. You meet someone, you have the safe lunch, you decide you like each other enough to move on to dinner. You go dancing, go back to her place, you have sex, and the minute you're finished, you know what goes through your mind? How long do I have to lie here and hold her before I can get up and go home? Is 30 seconds enough?
That's what you're thinking. Is that true?
Sure. All men think that. How long do you like to be held afterwards? All night, right?
See, that's the problem. Somewhere between 30 seconds and all night is your problem.
I don't have a problem.
Yeah, you do.
So people you asked put this on the list when Harry Met Sally.
All the time people say it's their favourite rom-com of all time or favourite love story of all time. And for people who don't know, you've seen it, right?
Yeah. Well, see, yeah, it is. It's a rom-com, but like, I don't know if it's not heavy enough on the rom for me to make
really?
It into the list.
Oh,
yeah,
it's not
The Notebook.
No, thankfully, no.
No, sorry, I'll always stand up for The Notebook.
Will you?
Yes.
Oh, dear.
Thank you, Dee. Producing, nodding, yes.
The reason why I think this is brilliant, because I think it's quite accurate, and certainly for the time. For people who don't know, Billy Crystal meets Meg Ryan for a car ride to college, and they really don't get on well. And he's this kind of smart jock of sorts, saying men and women can't be friends.
Yeah.
They meet again on a plane. I think it's 10 years later. He's still a bit of a jackass. They meet 10 years after that. He's about to get divorced. She's going through the breakup of a relationship. They become great friends. And of course, he slowly falls in love with her. And he is disabused of all his notions. Maybe it's a real guy film in that it starts as Billy Crystal being an utter jackass. And he becomes a kind of nice guy by the end of it, by the benign influence of Meg Ryan, who's absolutely delightful in this. And it's endlessly quotable. And of course, there is the famous scene in the coffee shop where she fakes an orgasm and the great line, "I'll have what she's having." It's just a perfect movie. I think it's 90 minutes long, and yet it feels like 3 hours long.
So it's the comedy element, really, that is selling it to the guys.
Yeah,
think?
But I think as a love story, it does really work, because they really don't like each other at the start. And then there's a gorgeous closing thing where he states the reasons why he loves her. It's beautiful.
You're reminding me now that I watched Groundhog Day at the weekend, with one of my children, which is sort of a similar story in that he's a jackass.
Yeah.
He's probably still a jackass at the end, but not so much of a jackass. But it has the comedy romance thing
going on. That's one of my favourite films. I don't see that as a rom-com, even though it kind of is, or a love story, because it's all about a guy who has to change his ways in order to get out of this Groundhog Day. It's one of the greatest movies ever made. I have the most underwhelming Bill Murray story of all
time. Go on.
I served him a drink in a country club on my J1. And I thought, it's Bill Murray. And I went up, he said, what have you got? And I led him the rest of drinks. I was terrified. And he said, I'll have a sea breeze. I brought it back to him. He said, thanks, John, because I had a name tag. And that was it. Isn't it the dullest story you've ever heard?
I think it's
great,
John.
But I have met Bill Murray.
John, I'm so proud of you. It's a great story. And I think you should tell that story a lot.
And what I just have on national radio.
Do you want to tell us about Titanic? Because that's on your list too.
I do. So people might balk at the idea of this, but people forget Titanic is actually a great movie. James Cameron did the business with Leonardo DiCaprio and Kate Winslet playing these, again, star-crossed lovers. She's meant to marry Billy Zane. She doesn't really want to. He's a stowaway. And they have this passionate love affair. It just happens to be taking place on a ship that's going to sink.
Yeah.
And the thing is, we all know it's going to sink. Spoiler, by the way, the Titanic does actually sink, right? And so that gives it this kind of, you know, impending sense of doom. So the love aspect is kind of intensified because you know it's not going to end well. Now, the internet is full of things about they could have saved each other in the ocean, according to that movie. The board was probably big enough, but let's not that get in the way of a great story. Can I give people a flavour?
Let's have a listen.
Jack! 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 There's a...
Why did we play that clip? That's so sad. It's the saddest part of the whole movie.
I insisted. No,
oh my God, I feel my tears coming. I watched this again at Christmas again.
And?
Introducing a younger audience to it. Went down very well.
Yeah.
A lot of questions afterwards. Is that real? Did that really happen? Go look it up.
Yeah, it is a great story. And they're both brilliant in it as well. And, you know,
brilliant in it.
Kate Winslet is terrific as this girl who wants something else out of the life she's meant to have.
They were only babies.
I know. They look so young. But I think that's kind of believable. They have chemistry together, I would suggest.
Now, you want to talk about Casablanca next, and you're going to have to do this on your own because...
Are we going to out you? You've never seen Casablanca.
I don't mind if you out me. Like, I'm just, you know, I don't want mind.
Claire Byrne has never seen Casablanca.
No, I don't mind being a cultural Philistine here. I'm okay with that.
It is a terrific movie, right? So sometimes, you know, people sit down and they watch classic movies and they're a bit like, I don't really get what the big guffaw is about that. I think if you watch Casablanca, you would still think this is a great movie. It takes place in North Africa. It was made during World War II and takes place during World War II. Rick Bogart plays this guy who owns a cafe. Bergman comes back into his life. Turns out they had a romance in France all those years ago. He has to make the ultimate sacrifice, put her on a plane out of war-torn Casablanca for the good of the man she's with now. It is probably, after Romeo and Juliet, the most kind of beautiful self-sacrificing moment in screen history.
So he loves her, does she love him?
Yeah, ultimately. Okay. Yeah, completely. But circumstances mean they can't be together. And he takes the high moral ground and she needs to go with the man who's involved in the Czechoslovakian freedom fighters against Nazism and all that. It contains multitudes, endlessly quotable lines. He never actually says, play it again, Sam. He says, play it, Sam. He says, you played it for her, you can play it for me. But he never says that. Mm-hmm. It is a glorious movie. Let me give you a little flavor.
We'll always have Paris. We didn't have. We lost it until you came to Casablanca. We got it back last night.
When I said I would never leave you.
And you never will.
I might watch that at the weekend.
Oh, you'd love it.
I'm laughing because I did this text message, which you're going to love. Don't forget The Silence of the Lambs. When Hannibal Lecter was handcuffed to Clarice, he chopped his own hand off in order to escape and not that of Clarice. Now, that's a real love story.
Hard to argue with that.
Text message of the day, that one is, to 087 1400 106. Yes, I am going to watch Casablanca this weekend, John. That is my commitment to
Please.
You.
Please.
Brief Encounter?
Yeah, a glorious movie. Again, it's from the 1950s. You know, this is the antithesis of the steaminess of Wuthering Heights. This is about, I was going to call it an affair, but it's barely even an affair. These two married people meet in a train station in the late 50s, in just outside London. And it is the most chaste infidelity you've ever encountered. But it's so emotional, and it's, you know, the touch of a hand, a brief furtive glance, a little visit to a duck pond in the park. And yet it is heartbreaking. And this is a spoiler, because they will not betray their lives to be with each other. And it's a tale of what might have been. It's absolutely beautiful. Don't let the black and whiteness put you off. It is absolutely gorgeous.
Are you going to pictures this afternoon?
Yes.
How extraordinary, so am I.
I thought you had to be all day at the hospital.
Well, between ourselves, I killed two patients by accident this morning, and the matron is very displeased with me. I simply daren't go back.
What's she like, your wife?
Madeline? Small, dark, rather delicate.
How funny. I just thought she would have been fair.
And your husband, what's he like?
Medium height, brown hair, kindly, unemotional, and not delicate at all.
I do like movies where everybody speaks like that.
Yes, it's all very chaste. But then they all go home and spank each other because it's all so naughty or something like that.
Something like that. That's the bit that John imagined.
Yes, that's not in the movie.
That's Brief Encounter. And then Annie Hall, Woody Allen's Annie Hall, makes it to your list.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, he's a complicated legacy. People have different views about separating the art from the artist. All I will say is Annie Hall is one of the great love stories of all time and a bit quirkier than most. Can we go to Four Weddings and a Funeral?
We certainly can.
Because, you know, people forget that because of maybe the whole Hugh Grant, and he's this modern day Cary Grant kind of figure. But that's a great love story, all about love that doesn't work out because, you know, Kristen Scott Thomas wants to be with the Hugh Grant character. And she's like, oh, Charlie, it was you. Don't you know, you buffoon? There's a heartbreaking funeral in it where that W.H. Auden Stop All the Clocks poem is done. But ultimately, it's about Hugh Grant trying to be with Andy McDowell. And it's beautifully wrought. And again, it's that upper Englishness, which there's a couple of those on the list, which I clearly seem to like. But this is like Englishness on steroids. It really is. Can I give you a quick flavour?
Let's have a listen. Yeah.
This is only the second time I've ever been a best man. I hope I did the job all right that time. The couple in question are at least still talking to me. unfortunately, they're not actually talking to each other. The divorce came through a couple of months ago. But I'm sure it had absolutely nothing to do with me. Apparently, Paula knew that Piers had slept with her younger sister before I mentioned it in the speech. The fact that he slept with her mother came as a surprise. But,
yeah, it's still really good. I'm listening to that wondering, could I use that for our little family movie at the weekend? It's very hard to get a family film.
What's your youngest, if you don't mind me
asking? 8. So 12 oldest, 8 youngest. It's just tricky, isn't it?
It really is tricky because a lot of these movies think, oh, that'll be fine. And then there's a couple of moments you're like, yeah, I don't want to answer questions that are coming here. So that's borderline, I would suggest. One you probably should avoid in terms of the family is Brokeback Mountain.
Okay.
Not for any other reason other than there is plenty of explicit lovemaking in it, but it remains one of the great love stories of all time. You might remember when this came out, there was a lot of attention paid to the fact that it was the first time a big Hollywood movie had a gay love story with two well-known Hollywood stars, the now sadly departed Heath Ledger and Jake Gyllenhaal, at its center. But the thing about it is, not rightly or wrongly, you completely forget it's a gay love story. It is just a love story about these two guys who meet in Wyoming when they're doing a summer job. And because of it being the 1950s, they can't be together. And it is absolutely heartbreakingly beautiful.
It's one of the brilliant great movies film, if you haven't seen it, Brokeback Mountain. But my homework is
Casablanca.
John, thank you so much.
You.
And screen time is on Saturday on News Talk between 6 and 7.
Indeed it is.
Looking forward to it, John. Thank you so much. That's John Vardy. And thank you to all of you for getting in touch today. You can catch up on anything you missed on newstalk.com or on the News Talk app powered by Go Loud. The team today, Hugo De Silva on sound, producers Dee King, Helena O'Toole and Alex Russo. Research by David David O'Connor, and the broadcast assistant is Anne-Marie Kane. Our editor is Denise McNamara.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.